chapter 24. Our subject this morning, God's electing grace, or God's elective grace, Genesis chapter 24. Now, this is an unusual church because of the fact that we believe in God's election. Most of your churches today don't believe in God's election. They have this idea that God made a choice, and the devil made a choice, and man makes the final choice, which is not true. And because of this, they're afraid to preach on the doctrine of election and the doctrine of God's grace, and as a consequence, they remain ignorant of the great truths of the Word of God. Now, you may not understand all what the Bible said, but I tell you right now, we better believe it. Because it's so, whether we believe it or not. And in our lesson today, we're going to read Genesis chapter 24, beginning at verse 50. We will see God's elective grace. Now, we've been in this chapter for several weeks. And I'm going to tell you again, we're not going to get out of it yet for a while. There's just too much in here. And I want to bring these truths out for you, and so that when you hear them, you're grounded in them, and then you can share them with other individuals and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord to you personally. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to listen like you never listened before. Because we're going to talk about you. You're here today by God's privilege. You're here today by God's appointment. And you'll not be the same after being in this service. Now, you better understand it. You say, well, man, preacher, I may go out of here unsaved. That's right, you may, if God lets you. But you're going to be a little bit farther away or a little bit closer to the Lord God of heaven. And my hope is that you'll be brought closer. Because this is a great study in this portion of the Word of God. And as I've said before, when you go astray in the book of Genesis, you go astray in the entire Bible. And the sad commentary of today is that the vast majority, preachers included, do not know how God saves a sinner. Well, if you're here very long, I'll tell you right now, you'll know it. If you never experience it, you'll still know it intellectually. But I hope that every one of you here will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially, because that's a vast difference. Genesis chapter 24, verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Shall we pray? Open our hearts, blessed Spirit of God, today as we gather here in thy midst. We recognize that thou art our teacher, and without thee we can understand nothing. So we pray, search our hearts, and Lord, cleanse us of our sin, and then send forth thy word in power and might, and unlock these hearts that need to know thee, and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify thyself in all that's said and done, and we shall praise thee, Lord, forever and ever. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Our subject today, God's elective grace. Two things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, in the picture that's set forth, we're going to look at Rebekah, a portrait of God's elective grace. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, there are five things that stand out about Rebekah, and they also stand out about you if you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, or they will begin to take place in your life. Now, as I've said before, I want to say again, you'll never be the same for being here today. Well, why not, preacher? Because this congregation is meeting in the capacity that it'll never again meet on the face of this earth. You say, wait a minute. We're going to meet next week, if the Lord tarries. Well, I'll be here, if the Lord allows you. But not everybody else will. We can even come back to the services tonight. Not all of you will be here tonight. I wish you were. But not all of you will be. You see, this is a unique meeting. And our Lord has brought us together for a purpose of setting forth God's elective grace so that you can understand what it's all about. Now, you may study God's grace, but I'm going to tell you right now, you have to experience it to know it. And in our lesson today, we're going to look at Rebekah for just a few moments, because we don't have much time left. I could preach easily to you for an hour and a half on this study without any difficulty. But I don't want burned dinner. And you don't either. And so we'll let you out in plenty of time, but we'll also give you something to take home with you from the Word of God this morning. Now let's look at Rebekah for just a moment. The first thing about Rebekah was this. Listen now. She was selected for a special privilege, but it was not known until it was revealed. Every individual in this room here today has been selected by God for a special privilege. Now what is that? You've been selected by God to hear this message. Some of you, and I hope all of you are. I don't know if you are or not. Only God knows. But all of you here have been selected by God to hear the truth of God. All of you here, I pray, have been selected by God to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you right now, you won't know about it until it's revealed to you. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, Rebekah was selected by the Lord to be the bride of Isaac. Now go back to Genesis chapter 24, if you will. And look with me at verse 14. Notice, here's the servant praying. And he said these words, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down her pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Now look at these words. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now what do you have here? Well, God's elect are found all over the world. We don't know where they are, but we know they are found all over the world. Many of them, and I should say all of them, don't know that until it's revealed unto them, and that isn't revealed until they come to know it. The Lord Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Now, Rebekah did not know that she was selected by the Lord for Isaac until it was proclaimed in her hearing. Now, you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Look at verse 44 of our text. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. Now what in the world are you talking about? Here we find God selected Rebekah to be the bride of Isaac. Now hold your seat. God is going to have a bride. The Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. That bride is His church. The church is not yet complete. Individuals are being called out of the mass of humanity to be converted and placed in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is His church. That's still going on. Now I'm going to tell you something. You'll not know that you're part of the bride of Christ until God saves you. But as far as I'm concerned, every unsaved individual in this room in this hour, as far as I know, has been selected by God to be part of the bride of Christ. Now, how come you say that? Because you're here. It's no happenstance that you're here. You're here by God's grace. You're here by God's appointment. And we find very clearly the Lord God of heaven has selected individuals to be part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this comes to pass before they even know it. Now, people today turn this thing around. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, people are taught today this heresy, and it is a heresy. They are taught that God from eternity looked down through the councils of time, and He saw that you would believe Christ, therefore He chose you. And that's just backwards. Now turn to Acts chapters 13, if you will, and look at me at verse 48, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. And I want you to notice it. In Acts chapter 13, with verse 48, we find these words. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now look at this important statement. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Now get that. They were ordained or predestinated to eternal life before they believed. Now who did that? God did. Who determined that Rebecca was to be the bride of Isaac? God did. When did she find out about it? When the servant came to her and brought the message. When did you find out that God had ordained you to eternal life before you believed? I'm going to tell you. After you came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not before. You see, it's the same thing with Rebecca. It's the same thing with the individual today. She was selected for a special privilege, but it was not known until it was revealed unto her. You were not knowledgeable of the special privilege that God elected you to until the Lord God of heaven worked in your heart and brought you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know Christ at this hour, you don't know if you're elected or not. Neither do I. I assume you are because I believe that's the reason God brought you here. I really don't know. But what a tragedy it would be for you to sit under the gospel preaching of this church and then die and go to hell. And I want to say to you very kindly, if you do, well, I'm going to tell you again, your punishment in hell will be far greater than those that haven't heard. And you need to understand that. And if people don't realize it, there are degrees of punishment in hell. Therefore, it is necessary for us to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it is also necessary to recognize that God has a plan. Now, that's why I've said before, you were selected by God this morning to come to this church at this time and hear this particular message. Now, when the Lord gave me this message this last week, I didn't know who was going to be here. And I don't know what the Lord's going to give me next week. And I don't know who's going to be here. I'm hoping all of you will. And I'm hoping that if the Lord tarries and He allows us to meet again, that we'll have another great study from the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will work in the hearts of these that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now there's a second thing about Rebecca. She was not only selected for a special privilege, but the second thing about her was this. She was sought out of the place that heathendom. Now, where was Rebecca living? She was living in Mesopotamia. Now, what kind of a place was that? All right, let me show you. Turn back to Joshua chapter 24, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is saying his farewell message to the children of Israel, and he said to us in these words, Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, these things. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now listen to what Joshua said. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. All right, now I want to tell you something. Who was the father of Rebecca, Bethuel? And we find very clearly he was a relation to Nahor, the brother of Abraham. And see, we see that Mesopotamia, the place where Rebecca was living, was a place of heathendom. Now, who sought her out? Here you have God's grace. Rebecca didn't go seeking Isaac. The servant of Isaac sought out Rebecca. Here again, you have God's grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. What's he doing? He's watching the Spirit of God seek out those individuals that are going to be part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have God's grace. God is seeking you out. That's the reason he brought you here this morning, to listen to exactly what you're listening to at this hour. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. Am I living in heathendom? The answer is yes. You are. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are living in heathendom. Not only that, you that are without the Lord Jesus Christ are living under the domination and the dominion of Satan and the influence of Satan, and you have to be brought out of his dominion. Now, every sinner without Christ is in the kingdom of darkness. Every sinner without Christ is under the domination of the devil. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. Take your Bibles now and turn to Acts chapter 26. See it for yourself. Acts chapter 26. And listen to what it says. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, we read these words. This is Paul's testimony. And this is the reason the Lord appeared unto Paul and said unto him in Acts chapter 26 and verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now notice, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So here you have the individual in Satan's dominion. All right, turn again, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1, and look at me at verse 13 and 14, and you'll see the kingdom in which the individual is living who is without the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. In Colossians 1, 13, we read, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All right, now let's get the picture. Rebecca was selected by God to be the bride of Isaac. Sinners today, you that are here today, are being selected by God to become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know that until God opens your heart. Neither did we. We didn't know it either until God opened our heart. And we find it had to be revealed to us. Now, how does it come about? We don't seek God. God seeks us. Now, someone might say, oh, but now, preacher, wait a minute. I'm seeking the Lord right now. I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. The reason you do is because God's already sought you out, hasn't he? He's already begun a work in your heart. And we find very clearly what happened. Somewhere down the line, you heard a verse of scripture. You heard maybe a song. You may have heard a program or seen one on TV or something like that whereby God used his word. And what did he do? He pricked your heart and you began to become uneasy. And you wonder what's going on, and you begin to have a hunger, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is the work of God seeking you out. Now, Rebekah was sought out by the servant of Isaac. And every individual is sought out by God the Holy Spirit, or that person cannot be converted. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look with me at verse 3, and you'll see it set forth for our learning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. No man can confess the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior but by the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 12:3 we read, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by or by through the Holy Ghost. And this necessitates the Holy Spirit of God seeking out the individual. All right, now how does it come about? Is it an ethereal thing? Or is it a reality that God makes the individual faith? Well, it's the same thing that happened with regard to Rebecca. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? Rebecca was suddenly confronted with the greatest issue in her life. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 24 for a moment, and let's look at this as we see it set forth. In Genesis chapter 24, you know the story by now because we spent a few weeks on it, and we're just pulling out the great truths that are found there. We see the Holy Spirit of God is portrayed by the servant. What did he do? He came to Mesopotamia where Rebekah was. He asked the Lord to direct his footsteps to the person whom the Lord God of heaven had appointed to be the bride of Isaac. And that's exactly what happened. Now I want you to notice. He asked the Lord to do this. Lord, let the woman to whom I ask give me to drink be the one whom thou hast appointed, and it took place exactly. And we find, so you see, God is specific in the answering of his prayer. And we see this took place. Then the servant was invited by Laban, Rebekah's brother, to come into their house and spend the night there. And before he did, he set out the errand that he was upon. He told him why he was there. He told him also what was taking place. And listen to me now. Follow me closely. Rebekah heard every word. Now what's that a picture of? It's a picture of the preaching of the gospel by the Lord God of heaven to the sinner whom God has chosen out. Now what did it involve? It involved being suddenly confronted to make a choice or the greatest issue of her life. With regard to Rebekah, Look at Genesis chapter 24 and look for me at verse 57. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now here's the biggest issue she faced in her life. She was required to make a choice right then and there with regard to two things. Number one, would she leave her family and follow a man who was a comparative stranger and to go and be the bride of a man she never met? Or would she turn him down and remain in her household like she was? Now, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the same thing takes place with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. You sinners here this morning, I want to tell you something. God has brought you here to hear these words. The Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. That bride is being made up. Now, y'all know that because you've listened to me long enough to understand that. Now, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is composed of sinners saved by blood and power and grace. If you're here today and you're a saved person, all right, you've been saved by Christ's blood, you've been saved by the power of God, and you've been saved by absolute, pure, free, sovereign, irresistible, personal grace. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. You know that. But what happened? When God dealt with you, this is what he did. He awakened you to your condition. He showed you who you were and what you were and the judgment you were under, and he brought you to this place. Will you or will you not come to Christ Jesus? Well, you say now, preacher, wait a minute. I begged the Lord to save me. I was afraid he wouldn't. Sure you did. But who brought you to that place? Jehovah God did. What was the greatest issue that you ever faced in this life? And that is it. What will you do with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the biggest issue every individual ever faces in this life. Because you see, you can't escape it. You're going to confront it one way or the other. And you'll either say yes, or you'll say no. Now this is what took place with Rebecca. She was required to make a choice regarding Isaac, and when God brings the sinner down the road of conviction, that individual is required to make a choice with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen now, the consequences are settled once and for all. It isn't a question that you're going to get saved when you feel like it. You're going to get saved when God sets it out. And when our Lord brings you down the road of grace, I'm going to tell you this. He brings you to this point where you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is your last privilege. This is your only opportunity you're ever going to have, either of being saved or you'll be condemned forevermore. And I'll tell you right now, nobody knows it greater than you. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? If you're really saved, you know what I'm talking about. You, God brought you to this place. And this is exactly what happened with regard to Rebecca. Now you say, preacher, now wait a minute. No, the consequences were settled once and for all. They asked her point blank, wilt thou go with this man? She came right back with three words, I will go. The Lord Jesus, or the Holy Spirit of God comes to the sinner. Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ or will you not? The sinner is begging and saying, Lord, save me or I perish. And he's waiting for God to reveal himself to him. And it takes place then. All right, now that's what happened with Rebecca. But we're not done. The fourth thing about her was this. How come she made this choice? And she did. Now how come? Well, she made the proper choice because of the fact that she was sovereignly guided in every aspect of her choice. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, when an individual gets saved, I'm going to tell you right now, they get saved all over. When you got saved, if you ever did, it involved three things. It involved your intellect, it involved your emotion, and I'll tell you something else, it involved your will. And God hadn't changed. He's done the same thing here with Rebecca. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, first of all, it involved her intellect. In Genesis chapter 24, and beginning with verse 32 down through verse 51, she was sitting there at the table with the men. Her mother was there. Laban, her brother, was there. Her father was there. Rebecca was there. The servant was their guest. He didn't eat alone. You know, it makes you feel funny. Did you ever go into a home and you were the guest of that home? And then all of a sudden they were talking to you and the host and his wife got up and left you and you were left there alone? You ever that happened to you? I did. And I'll never forget. I'll tell you right now. You feel so funny. You look at each other and say, what did we do? I was in the island of St. Lucia where this took place, and we were in the home of this preacher, and I was holding a meeting for him, and he brought out, we were sitting there at the dinner table, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, he said something in the Patois language to his wife, and all of them got up. The wife, and the husband, and the two children, and the maid, they all got up, and they left, and they went into the room, and they left us there with a table of food, and nobody talked. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and I said, what do we do? We were talking about the things of the Lord. And then they didn't come back for 3 hours. We didn't see them. It's the funniest thing we ever... I'll tell you right now, you certainly felt unwanted, didn't you? We did. And we got out. We walked out. I said, let's get out of here. And we didn't stay there much longer. We moved to another place. Well, now what happened with Rebecca? She was listening. And you see what you have here. The servant setting forth his mission to the family of Rebecca is really a picture of the preaching of the gospel to the sinners. And what did he tell them? He said, my master Isaac has a bride, wants a bride. My master Abraham sent me to find a bride for my master's son. And beloved, today, the message of the gospel to every sinner is this, repent or perish, and also repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become a part of the bride of our Savior who is soon coming after. And Rebecca heard this. Now what happened? Listen, it involved her intellect. Now I'm going to tell you again. You can't come to this church very long without learning what it means to be a no-account sinner. Now you can. Every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ is a no-account sinner in God's eyes. We deserve nothing but hell. We can't buy, earn, or merit, or pray our way into glory. We can't. And yet we find the message of God is very clearly this. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord Jesus Christ is forming a bride. And you and I have the privilege, through Him, being wedded to Christ, to be a part of that great bride that He's soon coming after. Now I'm going to tell you this. It involves your intellect. Before you get saved, if you ever do, you'll perceive with your mind that you're a sinner before God. Now that'll involve your intellect. Because God doesn't save a sinner in ignorance. The second thing that'll take place is this. You perceive what is being said, and then very clearly now, you will be involved with your emotions. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Rebecca faced this. She had to part with the natural with regard to the spiritual. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? She parted with the natural for the spiritual. Now, preacher, what do you mean? All right. She heard. Listen to me now. She heard. From the servant, even though it isn't listed in this exact portion of the Word of God here, God just didn't record it. But the servant told Rebekah's parents what God had promised Abraham. He promised him the land of Canaan. He promised him a spiritual seed. He promised him a natural seed. He promised him that through him, all the nations of the earth should be blessed. And the servant set forth all of this with regard to Rebekah and her family. Now why? He was telling them the truth. And beloved, today, we set forth before you very clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. That bride is composed of blood-bought, blood-washed sinners. You can have that privilege of being part of the bride. But are you listening? You've got to part with the natural in behalf of the spirit. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, this is what took place. If Rebecca was to go to be the bride of Isaac, she had to leave everything behind. That involved her separation. Are you listening? It also involved faith. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, no father is going to allow his daughter to go off with somebody he don't know. If they do, I'll tell you right now, they make the biggest mistake in their life. And that's why I tell all the girls, and I tell it again, when they start dating, all right, you play hard to get. Don't let the man that you're going to go out with or the boy that you're going to go out with blow the horn in his car, and you just say, so long, folks, and I'll see you, and run out the door. No, sir, you make them come to the door. You make him meet your parents. And you make him sit down at least 10 minutes in your parents' presence so they can sit down and question him. Oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. That's old-fashioned. Aren't you glad it is? The way it ought to be. You'll save yourself a heap of problems. And we find today, this is what took place with regard to Rebecca. The servant presented his mission. What else did it do? We find Rebecca had to part with the natural in behalf of the spiritual. In other words, listen to me now, she fell in love with Isaac and never saw it until she met him. Are you listening? When God sets out to save you, he puts a love in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we have never seen him. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ today? I do. How much do you love him, preacher? More than my family. More than anything else on the face of this earth. Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, by faith. I haven't seen him by the naked eye. I expect to see that in the near future. And what we happen? Rebecca had the same thing. She parted with the natural for the spiritual. All right, now how come? Notice what she said. I will go. Now how come? Well, here's the third thing. She was made perfectly willing because of imparted faith. What are you talking about? She believed what the servant said. Listen to me now. She believed that Isaac was all that the servant said he was. She believed that Isaac would do all that the servant said he would do. And what else? She expected it of him. How do you know, preacher? Because she said, I will go, and she left. And are you listening? When you believe something, you act on it. When you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you, and you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you, and you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the complete price in order for you to be saved, when you really believe that Christ is all that he is, and that he says he is, I'll tell you right now, then you'll act on it. And Rebecca did. They came to her and they said to her, wilt thou go with this man? The next morning, she answered 3 words. I will go. She chose to go with the servant. She chose to turn her back on her family, upon her country, upon all that she had. She set her face like a flint to go with that servant to find her bride, bridegroom, I should say, whom she had never seen. And are you listening? It came about because of imparted faith. Who gave it to her? Jehovah God. How come you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today? I'll tell you. Because of faith. And how come? It's by grace we are saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And did God work faith in the heart of Rebecca? He certainly did, all right? Last of all, we see one more thing. We see not only did she say, I will go, but I want you to notice, special privileges became hers immediately. Now, preacher, where in the world do you find that? Look again, if you will, verse 59 through 61. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and sent unto them, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of them, of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. All right, now what were the special privileges that took place in Eve? Are you listening? Here they are. Number one, she became a part of God's family. You say, what are you talking about? Follow me now. Abraham and Isaac were a part of God's family, were they not? All right, Rebekah immediately became a part of God's family. When? When she said, I will go. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when you say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I trust you, or yes, Lord, or however it is that you come to Christ, and you come to Christ that way, you surrender to Him. Immediately, my Lord accepts you. He will. You say, oh, but now, Pastor, wait a minute. I've been crying unto the Lord, and there's no answer. You know why? God's not through dealing with you. There's something in your heart that God sees that you haven't surrendered. You better understand. You haven't come to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ means more to you than anything else. And when you come to the place, like Ralph told me last night, because I questioned him how God saved him, when you come to the place where you can't live another day without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, God will save you. You follow me? All right, now notice. She became a part of God's family. So do we. Secondly, we find it was bestowed upon her by grace apart from works. What did Rebekah do? Nothing. What did she deserve? Nothing. What did she receive? Everything. Think of it now. She became the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, what do we deserve? Nothing. What can we do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But what do we receive? We receive everything. And the greatest privilege you can have is for the Lord Jesus Christ to reach down and save you. And my hope is He will. Thirdly, we find also, Rebekah received this. There was the blessing and the protection of God guaranteed. Now, where in the world do you find that? Verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rose and rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Are you listening to me? Follow me closely now. And don't ever let it get away. The moment that you and I come to Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that moment, we become a part of God's family. But also, the blessings of God and the protection of God are guaranteed. Now you say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And let me close, if I may, because our time is gone. In Ephesians chapter 1, and look with me at verses 13 and 14, and listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now what do you have here? You have the blessing and you have the protection of God guaranteed. And what does our Lord say? Our Lord says in John chapter 10 that my sheep hear my voice and I give unto them eternal life, and He sums it all up and He said, and they shall never perish. And He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, here you have Rebekah. She left her home, she left her country, she left her family, and she followed a servant, and we find she came under the protection of the servant, and we see very clearly the servant guided her and directed her and presented her safe and sound to Isaac, and she became his bride. Now what do you have here? You have in this illustration a very clear reality that every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, we are under the protection and guidance and blessing of God the Holy Spirit, and we have the guarantee of God that we can never be lost, and we have the guarantee of God that in the very near future, no matter whether it be long or short, we have the absolute guarantee of God that He will present us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there shall not one of God's elect ever eternally perish. Now this is elective grace. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a recipient of this privilege? You can be. Are you a poor lost sinner? Are you crying out for God to have mercy on you? Don't stop crying until that answer comes. It'll come. Don't sit down and figure out how God's going to save you. You say, Lord, save me. We've had people down through the years that they sit down and they try to figure out this way, you know, and they logically say, I've come to this point, I've come to this point, now I've got to go to this point, and then I'll be over here, and then I'm all gone. No, that works. I'm going to tell you something. God will save you when you least expect Him to. Now, He will. And He'll save you in a different way than you could ever begin to think about. He'll save you in His way. And what is His way? It's salvation by blood and power. And it's the revelation of Christ to you. But I'm going to tell you right now, when it does take place, it'll come with such an astounding force that you sit back and you say, is this really so? And yet you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it is. And when Rebecca left, we find very clearly, she became the bride of Isaac the moment she said, I will go. And sinner, the moment you trust Christ, you become the bride of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God will guarantee that you shall absolutely reach the pearly gate. All right, now let me close. Rebecca knew, listen to me now, Rebecca knew what would be the result if she said, I won't go. Now let's soak in. She knew that. And there comes a time in a sinner's heart when God deals with that sinner. And that sinner is brought to the place where if he says no, and he knows it, if he says no to Christ, he'll never be saved. And he knows the consequence. And Rebecca knew that. Also, you have very clearly, listen to me now, the irresistibility of God's grace prevents the individual from making the wrong decision. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the Lord enabled you to trust Christ? And aren't you glad in that period of crisis, you stood there as it were, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? God kept His hand upon you. And what did He do? Irresistibly and gently and yet wonderfully, what did He do? He guided you into the place where you had a hunger to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you wondered if God would ever listen to you, and to your amazement, He did, and you made the right choice, didn't you? How come? Because God guided you in. And that's the irresistibility of God's good. Now let me leave you this week. Is there a crisis time for somebody here today? Is the Lord dealing with your heart? If He is, I want to say to you very kindly, don't you argue with God. Don't you argue with Him. You may say, Lord, I don't understand all this. Well, who said you did? What did Rebecca understand? She understood this. Isaac wanted her to be his bride. She understood that. She didn't know how long it would be before she'd meet him. But she understood that Isaac wanted her. And there was kindled in her heart a desire to want Him. And beloved, that's exactly the way God works. He kindles in your heart a desire to want Christ because Christ has already set forth very clearly He wants you. And in the irresistibility of God's grace, He'll guide you and direct you so that sweetly and marvelously and yet suddenly and astoundingly you will say, yes, Lord. And He'll reveal Himself to your soul. And you'll never be the same. Is there a crisis time for someone here today? If there is, I want to say to you very kindly, cry out, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Show me thyself and save me, lest I perish. When He does, you come and tell me. I'm waiting to hear. Shall we stand? Our Father, today we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy to us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the clarity and the truth of Thy Word. And we thank Thee that as You dealt with Rebecca, You deal with sinners today. And Lord, from Genesis to Revelation, Thy method of salvation is the same. And we just pray, bring everyone here in this room that doesn't know Thee. Bring them, Lord, to a saving knowledge of Thyself. Oh, don't pass them by. We know You can. And we know, Lord, if we're left to ourselves, none of us would ever get saved. But how glad we are that you searched us out and you brought us to the place where we were enabled by thee to say, yes. Yes, Lord, I will follow. And oh, how marvelous it is. And we praise you for it. So work in these hearts as only thou art able. And then, Lord, strengthen every believer. And as we travel along the way behind, led by the Holy Spirit and behind him, following his leadership, we pray, Lord, lead us onward and upward until you bring us unto thyself. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Anybody get saved this morning? Tell me about it. Come on, tell me about it. I'm waiting to hear. Anybody here for the first time in your life? God's opened your heart. You know that you're a lost sinner. You want God's people to pray for you. Put your hand up. Never done it before. You're a lost sinner today. Anyone? All right. God.